to order. First, we'll need the approval of the previous minutes from our last meeting.
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any public comment? Just about the meeting not being at 8 o'clock, Steve, is that it?
Comment about that.
Okay. No comment. All right. The resolution concerning the review of executive session minutes.
Well, we probably should go in the executive session and do that, but if you guys want to do the legislative report first.
We'll do the legislative report now, and then we'll go into executive session.
I sent out in advance a list of all the bills that we're tracking. There's probably some that we're missing. It's not until we really get to this point in the legislative session that you really can sort through all the fluff and figure out what's out. There's a lot of bills that get filed and they end up in the rules committee and they don't move. Sometimes they do move out. But there are a couple here. It appears to be a light year, different than past years where there were a lot of bills out there. You know, we play mostly defense on these things. We try to block things that are bad for county government. Occasionally there are enhancements, but those are becoming more difficult, you know, with the political environment and the priorities in Springfield are a lot of different. So, for example, probation funding, that's something we've talked about year after year. It got slashed for several years in a row. Last year, we were able to successfully have some of the funding restored, but not quite back to a level we feel comfortable with, and certainly not back to the level it's supposed to be at by law. So we continue on that front. We have had a lot of support from the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who's been lobbying the legislature to put funding into probation. So, you know, it's pointing up, but until the state fixes some of their other fiscal problems, you know.
Are you talking about Judge Hilla or the...
Carmine.
No, actually, whoever the chief is. I think
he's got to be careful. If he's not a registered lobbyist, he can get in trouble.
Well, he's testified.
You don't have to be a lobbyist to testify.
Right, right. Yeah, they've taken the position that, you know, it's mostly an educational process for the legislature. A lot of them don't understand, you know, what county governments put into probation funding, what the law says. So it's been a multi-year educational process to try to have them figure it out. But
you'd be surprised how many of them don't understand anything.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that's something we're constantly working on. We do have a bill that's been filed that's one of our Madison County's initiatives. It's to fix the problem we have down in our weatherization program. We have employed weatherizers who are carpenters. They start out as apprentice carpenters and they move up. And the agreement we have, the collective bargaining agreement we have with the Carpenters Union, is that we contribute towards their health and welfare plan. So, in other words, they're not on the county's pension program or health or anything like that. Well, IMRF is now interpreting their rules to say it doesn't matter if there's a collective bargaining agreement. If they work more than 600 hours, they're supposed to be under IMRF. Well, obviously, that's not acceptable to put them under IMRF and also have them under the Carpenters Pension Program. So we've had several discussions with the executive director of IMRF. They agree that we need to fix the legislation. They support fixing it to basically say that if we have an employee that's over 600 hours and they're under a Taft-Hartley pension program, that they don't have to be under IMRF. So we have a bill that has been filed that we're trying to get through to fix this situation. So that's the status. Don't know if we're going to run into any opposition. So far, there hasn't been any. But
who's sponsoring it?
We've got Beiser sponsoring it in the House, and they weren't sure whether it was going to. It was probably going to get attached to some other legislation in the Senate. It's possible that it'll get corrected when it goes to conference too. It's basically going to be attached to another bill, so we're keeping that track. So hopefully we'll be able to correct that situation. Just a couple of others. I'm not going to go over all these. I don't know if you all have read the report and you have some questions. I can try to answer them. Just a couple other of note. One is the 911 surcharge fee. When the legislation first passed, it had a sunset date, which they do a lot with some of these bills. it's being extended. There's no opposition to extending it. The extension won't have any impact on Madison County. We'll continue to be able to have the same fee that we need to operate the organization. What is happening, though, is the city of Chicago, and now Cook County supporting them, is trying to raid the 911 fund to statewide pot to fund the Illinois Poison Control Agency, which is something that apparently is needed. It's a phone number you can call if someone, takes something at home that has poison. Doctors actually call it. So apparently there's a public need to have it, but the concern is that once you open the door for anybody to start raiding this fund, they all get in line. It goes for things not related to whatever its purpose is. So while we support extending the law, we have some concerns about opening the door. Nothing against the poison control operation, but that should be funded some other way. And then the other legislation that doesn't have an impact on us directly right now, but we're concerned about it, is there's a minimum manning piece of legislation for firefighters that has passed the House. And the reason this is alarming is our sheriff deputies have tried to negotiate in union negotiations minimum manning on the sheriff's department. We have always rejected negotiating that because what it comes down to is it would be a mandatory budget increase. If we agreed to that, then the union could come in and say we want a minimum of X number of patrolmen on the street. If someone's off on sick or whatever, then you have to pay someone overtime. We think that's management's discretion to be able to handle that, not a mandatory subject of bargaining. And what's worse is that the police union has the opportunity to go to arbitration. And these arbitrators have not ruled in our favor historically over issues like this. They have taken the position, this is just an opinion, that as long as we have the ability to increase property taxes to pay for all this stuff, then we should do it. And we, as you all know, on the other hand, is looking out for the interest for the taxpayers as much as we can. So, if this passes for firefighters, I'll guarantee the police will be next in line trying to get this.
This will definitely be abused. I don't care what anybody says,
The Illinois Municipal League, which is a powerful organization in the state, is fighting hard to try to stop this because it has an impact on municipalities.
What are they saying? So many firemen so much population, or what?
That's what they could say. And what happens is when you're negotiating a contract, if you disagree on something, they can take it to arbitration. So they could say minimum firemen per shift or something like that, and it just opens up not only a budgetary issues but opportunities for abuse. There's stories about where in other states where there's been minimum manning, where guys will work the system to call off sick, and the other guy in line will get overtime, and it ends up being a financial. But it's not to say that we public safety agencies shouldn't properly staff their positions. They should do that, but that's a policy decision that management should be able to make, and it shouldn't be the union, ability to negotiate it. That's what it comes down to.
What about the volunteer firemen? That's not affects them at all.
I'm not sure how that would play
because
out.
There's fire departments up around Chicago, some of those suburbs up there, that they may have 50,000 people in the communities, and they're all volunteer firemen.
Well, they're probably not unionized, so that would be the difference.
But how would this law affect that community to where they could come in and unionize? And
I don't know what the Labor Relations Act says about volunteer organizations, whether they can organize or not. I don't know the answer to that. But this would only be where there's an organized bargaining unit. That's pretty much, those are the three I just wanted to report on. Like I said, anything else, some of these things,
Is that the Unified Fire Protection District that's not what you were talking about, though, just now.
That's not the same one. There's another one.
I see this Unified Fire Protection District.
Yeah, that's another one that I'm not.
Seems like they're reinventing the wheel. I mean,
I haven't studied that one that closely. I think it impacts somebody up north. I'm not sure if it would have any impact on our fire protection district down here.
It sounds like it's already what our fire protection districts are.
Yeah.
that all? No.
That's all I have.
If they read the statutes that are already on the books, they wouldn't.
There's usually a backstory to these things.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions on any of them? Or anything that was in the packet?
I don't.
Okay, well then let's, we'll need a motion to go from regular session to executive session to talk about executive session minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Let's vote individually. Nick?
Aye.
Jack?
Yeah.
Judy?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Mark? Yes. Okay. Aye.